Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. Once a month, we get to chat with health officials from Saskatchewan, previously the Sunrise Health Region, now Saskatchewan Health Authority. But we still get to see some familiar faces like we did in previous years, like Deanna Bartok, for one, HIV Strategy Coordinator, and joining her, Gary Shepherd, Director of Integrated Primary Health Services, again, both with now the Saskatchewan Health Authority. It's great to have you both here, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, let's start our conversation today on mental health. Over the past week, much of Saskatchewan, Canada for that matter, a lot of talk around that crash involving the Humboldt Broncos, and it's like a mental fog has hung over this province. Many people just down in regards to what they're feeling, just emotional for many different reasons. So let's just talk about the importance of taking care of one's mental health, particularly when a tragedy like this happens. Now, granted, mental health services are available all the time to people. Let's just give a background of what people can do. Maybe if they are feeling their mental health is down a bit right about now, particularly in terms of this recent news and the crash that took place last week.
I think it leaves us all feeling a little bit vulnerable, and certainly we find out very quickly how small a province we live in. I think this has touched many people, and tragedies like this remind us that we all need support in dealing with difficult emotions that accompany the heartbreaking tragic event, such as the Humboldt Bronco bus accident. The Saskatchewan Health Authority continues to provide mental health support for those affected by this tragedy, both within the organization and throughout the province. A special page has been set up on saskhealthauthority.ca, the provincial health authority's website, and it's got a dedicated section in there for information. It's titled Humboldt Support, and it provides a list of resources and services that are available. There is in there a link to Yorkton and area resources that can be found, and we would encourage everybody who's struggling to cope with the events that have transpired out of the accident to feel free to contact mental health services wherever they may live.
Yeah, it seems like all of Saskatchewan in a bit of a fog. It's more than just the people that were directly in that crash, more than just their families too. It's people from all corners of the province who might not have a connection to the crash other than, well, maybe that's how they lost a loved one in the past, or just there's so many things that could connect someone back to feeling all the more down as a result of the crash. So it's good to know there's lots of mental health supports in place for all Saskatchewan residents, regardless of what they're going through, or just for that matter, anyone just living in Saskatchewan needing to find some help and what they can turn to. So again, on the Saskatchewan Health Authority.ca website, a lot of that where it can be found. Now, diving into our topic for today's program, drugs, addictions, overdoses, things like that is where we're going to be headed for our conversation. And in that way, too, supports that are in place for this problem, I guess, that we have here in Saskatchewan. The news is suggesting that, yeah, this is becoming more and more of a problem, trying to tackle it the best we can, and looking at some of the resources that are there for people. So we're going to start our topic with opioids. Let's dive into just outlining what exactly those are and the drugs that we talk about when we refer to opioids specifically.
So drugs that are classified in with opioids, there's the illegal form of heroin that you can buy on the street. Mm-hmm. There's also legal form of opioids that you can purchase or get a prescription from a doctor or buy them on the street as well. But there's the legal form of fentanyl, morphine, Dilaudid, codeine, Vicodin, and methadone that or form in their legal forms.
Now, again, legal in a form, yet still very important that it's the patient-doctor relationship that exists there. Just because someone has been prescribed something and receives it, they can't be going out sharing that with people that they know that they think, oh, you might be able to No, that's strictly for you as a patient of a doctor who's carefully examined your situation and prescribed it for that reason.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, that being said, someone, it's my understanding, they could take a drug and not know it has an opioid, correct?
Yeah, and certainly in the past couple months, there's been a lot of media attention around the cocaine that was laced with fentanyl that caused some overdoses in Saskatoon and found in some other communities across the province, including in our area. And, you know, when it comes to fentanyl or if other drugs are laced with other drugs, you can't taste, smell, it doesn't look any different. So folks don't know what they're getting. And that's certainly a contributing factor to an opioid overdose when somebody might be purchasing those drugs on the street, and they could be mixed with other drugs that can cause an overdose, and you don't know the quality, the quantity, the potency of that drug.
Now, one thing I'm grateful for from our discussions with Sunrise and Saskatchewan Health Authorities, we're able to basically bust some myths and destroy some misconceptions that people have about, well, a variety of things in the healthcare system. So specifically with opioids, can we nullify some misconceptions that people may have about these drugs?
Well, I think when it comes to just our general knowledge about substance abuse disorders or addictions, we certainly, you know, there's misconceptions out there, right? That people that do drugs are, they're bad people. People who misuse substances are bad people. Mm-hmm. They're not bad people. They're really not. And it can start simply as a prescription and end up with an addiction or a substance abuse disorder. People think they're morally weak. They're not weak people. And, you know, a lot of folks that I've talked to and I've learned from, you know, their addiction started from simply, you know, they were in a car accident, they had a sporting injury, they had surgery prescribed, an opioid for pain management, and then it just kind of spiraled from there where it ended up in a substance abuse disorder. It's a neurobiological disease. It changes things in our brain.
Right.
And it's not that easy to say, well, they chose to do this. This is a choice. They should just stop it. And it's really not that easy for folks that have a substance abuse disorder because there is changes in the brain that affect our coping skills, affects how we manage day-to-day life. And it's just not that easy to say, stop it.
Right. Now, the age as well of people potentially addicted. This isn't just, say, a young person problem, like from preteens, if you will, to like 30, for example. This, because we're dealing with patients within the healthcare system, well, this is very far reaching.
Well, certainly it affects everybody, every walk of life. Nobody's immune to it. It isn't just about one community in a city. It isn't just about one area in a city. It isn't about just those people. Right? Because it isn't. It affects folks from all walks of life.
Yeah, seniors even.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's not about, again, just one community or one area in a city. Again, across the walks of life.
And then obviously when we get into a dangerous level that someone is taking opioid, illegal drug, whatever it may be, overdoses are possible. Someone might not be familiar, like, what does that even look like? I know often what a TV show, what a movie might portray, it's very different than what's actually taking place, isn't it?
It is, right? I think what we see on TV and the movies is very different than real life. It's a very scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have, again, that perception that leads to those misconceptions about substance abuse disorders and overdoses. So,
yeah. So, again, from just what it looks like, what is specifically are we, I guess, talking about where, in form of what an overdose looks like?
Yeah. So, an opioid overdose, some folks will experience either no breathing or slow breathing, no heartbeat or slow heartbeat. They may be unresponsive, they might be gurgling, gasping, snorting kind of sounds. Their skin might be cool, clammy. Their lips might be blue, or their fingernail beds might be blue as well, and just unresponsive. And at that point, we always suggest to folks the first step you do is call 911, even if you don't have the training.
Yeah.
Call 911. That's the first thing.
Exactly. Now, maybe we can help, again, bust a myth, if you will, like what actually causes the overdose. Some people think it's just a matter of just too much of one medication.
It's certainly not. There's some different contributing factors in relation to an opioid overdose. Certainly that substance itself. For individuals that are getting a prescribed medication from the doctor and getting it from the pharmacy, there might be a lower risk of an overdose, but it still could happen. But for folks that are buying any of those substances on the street, again, don't know the quality, the quantity or the potency of that.
Okay.
That certainly can lead to an overdose. There's some individual factors as well, age. So folks that are elderly or younger may have a higher risk of overdosing if they're on any other medications and they're taking an opioid, or if they're drinking alcohol, that also can be a factor to an overdose as well. And certainly there's issues around the way people take it.
Mm-hmm.
So if folks are injecting, inhaling, or snorting, or ingesting, if they're swallowing it, those are certainly higher risk ways of an overdose to occur.
Well, and that's why I know there's a lot of controls in place. So with like pharmacies and doctors always asking previous medications or already existing medications, they want to know in the event they do need to prescribe something that it's not going to counteract right. with something and create a dangerous situation for someone.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, you know, even alcohol, people don't necessarily understand that if they mix alcohol with their prescription medications or maybe illegal medications or substances, that can also certainly have a factor.
All right. Now, there are kits out there that you've actually brought one here today. It can help with someone maybe undergoing an opioid overdose. Let's talk a bit about this kit and what's it all inside of it.
Yeah, sure. Since about January 2017, we've been doing education on opioid overdoses and providing the kits to individuals that are high risk of an opioid overdose, or for family members and friends of those individuals who are at high risk. The kit itself is free for those individuals, but if there's a general public who are concerned about the well-being of others, they can actually visit their local pharmacy or talk to their local pharmacist about the kits. And there may be a cost to that, but we currently provide it free for individuals that are at risk. The kit itself contains two ampoules or vials of the medication naloxone, and naloxone just temporarily reverses an opioid overdose. Once somebody administers it to somebody, it will only last for about 30 to 90 minutes, and after that time, an overdose actually can return. So again, we always educate folks to call 911 first. Before administering the naloxone, there's two syringes. It is administered into a muscle, so there's two syringes to do that, and they retract back. There is gloves, alcohol swabs, and a mask to provide rescue breathing.
Is it like how an EpiPen would work, or still a little different?
A little different.
Okay.
We actually teach people to draw it up from the ampoule or vial. So at this point in time in Saskatchewan, only registered nurses are able to provide the training and the kits, because we're actually teaching people to draw up the medication and then give it intramuscularly to somebody. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what makes this, I don't even know what the right way to describe it would be, chemical drug, naloxone, like what makes it so quick acting and special, I guess?
Well, it actually binds to the same receptor in the brain as opioids do. So it actually kind of pulls out the opioid out of that equation of an overdose, but it's only temporary. So it's basically an antidote to an opioid overdose. Unfortunately, when we're looking at other type of overdoses from other substances like stimulants, and those stimulants would be like cocaine, crack cocaine, crystal meth, Ritalin, unfortunately, there's no antidote to reverse an overdose related to those substances at all. So,
And can someone just give it in the form of a precaution if they think that's what someone's going through, even if they don't have a clue what that person might have been doing?
Yeah, actually, they can. It doesn't hurt anybody if somebody's uncertain of what that person has taken. It doesn't hurt by no means. And some folks actually are polysubstance users, so they might be using two substances at the same time. Or in the case of, you know, the cocaine that was laced with fentanyl, those folks didn't know that there was fentanyl in the cocaine. So, you know, there's an opportunity to reverse that opioid overdose if they are using a substance with both.
Now, I'm sure these kits probably hear the same stories as when some communities engage in something like a safe needle location. A lot of people, they have, well, wait a minute, are we really sure this is the best way to go about doing it? Doesn't this encourage someone to partake in this sort of behavior? It's one of the things that people jump to. I know in previous interviews, you've nullified it, so I guess, bring up those counter arguments to someone's bringing up those kind of argument points.
Well, I think it comes with those misconceptions, right?
Yeah.
Misconceptions about substance abuse disorders, misconceptions that, you know, they're bad people. You know, why would we save their lives for? But I think if that was your child, if that was your family member, you know, you'd probably look at it and feel about it different. Mm. You know, they're individuals that never set out in their life to have a substance abuse disorder. They're not purposely going out to overdose at all. Unfortunately, that happens, and they're not purposely setting out to do that.
Well, and especially, I suppose, when we talk about an overdose can happen when we're talking about legally prescribed medication.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, people can mix substances without really even realizing, right, that would be a problem. You know, alcohol is one of them. You know, you if you mix alcohol with other opioids, there's certainly a risk there.
Right. So, again, whereabouts can these kits be found in the area?
There's a few locations throughout Yorkton and area where both the training and the kits are available. Stepping Stone Wellness Clinic, located in CAMSAC Hospital, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, the training and kits are available. Anybody interested can contact 306-542-1968 and make arrangements for the training. In Yorkton, the Turning Point program that's located at Sign on Broadway, call 306-786-0637. And again, that's Monday to Friday. There's someone there who can provide, again, both the training and the kits. And we would encourage any member of the public that might be interested in getting a kit to contact their local community pharmacy and check to see whether or not they may be carrying kits themselves. There may be a nominal cost associated with that, but I don't know that you can put a cost on saving a life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Would you say, is it more so agencies that come forward and ask if they can have a kit to help maybe clients of theirs? Is it a family member that's typically stepping forward asking for these kits? Or is this still a fairly relatively new program and still kind of getting its foot in the door?
A combination of all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. It could be people that think they're at risk. It could be family members. Could be peers or friends, and we're happy to talk to individuals one-on-one or do group education, and just generally understanding how to recognize an overdose and what to do, even if they may not want the kits. That's a step forward in the community to save somebody's life, because I think every life is worth saving.
Oh, for sure. Cost associated to someone coming forward and asking for a kit or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there one? A cost?
There is no cost. If they're individuals that are at high risk of an overdose, or family members and friends. If people access through the pharmacy, there is a cost for those kits if they're not within that criteria.
And again, with getting one of these kits, important that they get some training before they use that, and that's available now too?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And what's that training like exactly?
We certainly talk about how to recognize an overdose, what to do, what steps you take, how to give the naloxone itself, and aftercare. Again, an overdose can return 30 to 90 minutes after. So in that time period that the ambulance is coming, we always tell folks to stay with that person, you know, and make sure that they're okay. Don't leave them alone. And I know some individuals have been a bit concerned, well, if I'm on the scene and there's drug paraphernalia or drugs on scene, oh, am I going to get arrested by the RCMP? Because, you know, RCMP will show up with EMS or emergency services.
Yep.
And the federal government last May passed a Good Samaritan Act or law that folks that have called 911 related to an overdose are exempt from being arrested if there's drug paraphernalia or drugs still on the scene. However, that certainly doesn't cover folks that have current arrest warrants, so that won't cover them. But if they've called 911 in the instance of an overdose, they won't be arrested.
And again, a reminder that the training and that sort of thing, as of right now, it's in the hands of registered nurses that are providing that to those that want to learn how to do it.
Yeah, and you know, and down the road things may change, but currently, really registered nurses, we have to provide the training and the kits at this point in time. But we're happy to do that. They're happy to call us. We're happy to go out to them. Whatever works for the public.
Saving lives, that's really what it comes down to and what it's all about. And this isn't just illicit illegal drugs that we are talking about either in terms of overdoses, opioids. I know it's getting a lot of attention, particularly in the United States, and those conversations now as well happening here in Canada as well. Deanna, Gary, is there anything else you want to get out there about this topic for people to know?
Covered it quite well.
I think so. If anybody has any questions, you know, certainly call us at Turning Point Program in Yorkton, 786-0637, or Stepping Stones Wellness Clinic in Kamsack at 542-1968. We're happy to talk about it. If any parents are concerned about their children, again, please call us.
I think it's fantastic that a lot is being done to tackle this issue and this problem. So I just want to thank you both for coming in and joining us on All You Ever Wanted to Know today to talk about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.